existence as we enter the new millennium. World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. A book and DVD titled The Secret has been all the rage in the world of pop culture and with certain religious leaders. Written by Rhonda Byrne, The Secret is cheered and promoted by Oprah Winfrey and Larry King. This little book, some call it a very enticing little book, and corresponding DVD have stirred widespread enthusiasm. According to Oprah's website, it's making headlines around the world and the buzz just keeps building. Some say it's the secret to creating the life you truly want, losing weight, making money, finding love. In the foreword to the book, Byrne writes, "Fragments of a great secret have been found in the oral traditions and literature in religions and philosophies throughout the centuries. For the first time, all the pieces of The Secret come together in an incredible revelation that will be life-transforming for all who experience it. In this book, you'll learn how to use The Secret in every aspect of your life, money, health, relationships, happiness, and in every interaction you have in the world. You'll begin to understand the hidden, untapped power that is within you, and this revelation can bring joy to every aspect of your life." When statements like this are made, we should always ask all the W's and the H, the questions of who, what, when, why, and how. So what does Byrne's statement really imply? Seems to me that she is stating that God is obsolete, that real spiritual empowerment means replacing the Bible, the Word of God, with the secret that supposedly she has rediscovered and that she is now broadcasting to the world. Byrne states that she has unlocked a secret that has captivated aspiring occultists, conjurers, those who conjure up familiar spirits, and magicians for thousands of years. She writes, "I've been given a glimpse of a great secret. Why doesn't everyone know this?" Author Barrett Kohlhaas states that the answer to her question of why everyone doesn't know this centers on the fact that as Christianity spread throughout the world, the forbidden forces behind the magical arts went underground. In other words, the Bible clearly condemns these kind of powers. So what does God say about those who claim to have these so-called supernatural powers? I'm reading now from Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning in verse 19. "When you're coming to the land which the Lord God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of these nations." See, God had revealed himself to Israel at that point in human history and not to the other nations. Now the word of God has been proclaimed basically throughout the nations for those who have ear to hear. He goes on to say, "There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, one who claims that he can communicate with the dead. For all of those who do these things are an abomination unto the Eternal." 90% of Americans claim to believe in the Bible, but yet many have not even read it. They probably don't even know that these verses are in the Bible. "And because of these abominations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God." That's Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 19 through 13. Since about 1970, all of the witches and familiar spirits and the secret societies to some degree have come out of the closet. There's been an explosion of books, movies, and television programs graphically revealing the so-called secret and magical powers of the ages. A naive, biblically illiterate nation was ready and eager to receive the mystical powers of the past. Byrne herself illustrates this fascination. She says that she has a burning desire like it consumed her to share the secret with the world, and I began searching for people alive today who knew the secret. One by one, they began to emerge. I became a magnet as I began to search. One great living master after another was drawn to me. Not only was this fascination with Byrne, but this fascination was really came to the fore with the Star Wars series and the magical world of Disney, in which several Star War movies were ground out, and also Disney continues to grind out various magical themes featuring witches and a whole host of magical kind of supernatural powers. Then there were the horror films and an avalanche of books and movies and television programs. And along came J.K. Rowling and her Harry Potter series. The last book in the series, which is to be released in the next week or so, has already sold over 1 million copies on Amazon.com. So indeed, there is a great fascination, not just with Byrne and her burning desire to share the secret. Byrne says those masters that she finally got in touch with included mythologist Joseph Campbell, Jack Canfield, who published his occult messages from a counterfeit god, and also Jerry and Esther Hicks. The Hicks website introduces a cluster or legion of demonic spirit guides called Abraham. Quote, Abraham, a group of obviously evolved teachers, speak their broader non-physical perspective through the physical body of Esther Hicks. Speaking to our level of comprehension, they guide us to a clear connection with our inner being, end of quotes. So doubtlessly, this legion of demonic spirit guides called Abraham are nothing more than familiar spirits, that is, demons. So we clearly see that this concept is in tune with the dark side of the spiritual world. However, we know that Satan ever delights in transforming himself into an angel of light. He will give you 99.9% of the truth just to introduce to you 0.01% of his false teachings, which may be all that is necessary to trip you up. Versions of the New Thought movement have come and gone through the ages. The close cousins of New Thought are the ancient mystery religions, the Kabbalah, Gnosticism, Rosicrucianism, Unity Church, Christian Science, Word of Faith, and others. The New Thought movement is really not New Thought at all. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, in which Satan the devil introduced to Eve and then she to Adam this choose for yourself which way you're going to go. You're the master of your own fate. Your eyes will be open and you shall be as gods. By the 1800s, esoteric philosophy and practical mysticism were moving across Europe and America like a tidal wave. The transcendental movement led by Ralph Waldo Emerson began in New England. The metaphysical movement was ushered in by Phineas Quimby and H.B. Blavatsky and Henry Alcott. They founded the Theosophical Society in Boston. It is now estimated that at least 25% of the population in America is involved in some measure with what is considered esoteric philosophy or New Thought religion. Byrne draws much of her material from the master named Mulford. Prentice Mulford, 1834, he was born and died in 1891. Mulford was one of the earliest writers and founders of the movement, the New Thought movement in this country, and he has influenced countless writers and teachers. The following quote from him summarizes the mental and spiritual laws that they operate on. Quote, "There is no limit to the power of the thought current you can attract to you, nor limit the things that can be done through the individual by it. In the future, some people will draw so much of the higher quality of thought to them that by it they will accomplish what some would call miracles. The capacity lies in the secret of what has been called magic." Can you see now very clearly that the secret draws from the world of familiar spirits? One of their laws is summarized by the following. It's called the truth and the law. Your outer world or form and experience is a reflection of your inner world of thoughts and feelings. As above, so below. As within, so without. That is the law. The New Thought movement carried on into the 20th century, and it became known in some circles as positive thinking. Gurus like Norman Vincent Peale, who in turn converted Robert Schuller, and countless other leaders who are now pastoring churches, are marketing the deception through church-related programs around the world. In broad terms, it is called the prosperity gospel. Nothing, Byrne assures us, can come into your experience unless you summon it through persistent thoughts. Byrne states, there isn't a single thing that you cannot do with this knowledge. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. The secret can give you whatever you want, end of quote. According to Byrne, the secret can be summarized by the law of attraction. She writes, the law of attraction is the law of creation. You create your life through your thoughts. With this powerful knowledge, you can completely change every circumstance and event in your entire life. She goes on to say, the secret is the law of attraction. Everything that's coming into your life, you are attracting into your life, and it's attracted to you by virtue of the thought you're holding in your mind. It's what you are thinking. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the secret and come to the conclusion that what God has to offer is no secret. If you would really like to understand the truth about the purpose of human existence, it is no secret why you were born. The Bible clearly reveals why you were born. You were born to become a glorious, radiant spirit being in the kingdom of God, an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. You can read it clearly as what it says in Romans 8:17, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, we can be nothing less than what God and Christ are with regard to the plane of existence. You can read it very clearly in your Bible. That in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll read very clearly about the resurrection, that we will be made quickening spirits just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead as a glorious, radiant spirit being. So call for the free booklet, What is Your Destiny?, so you will know why you were born. It is no secret. And at the same time, we will send you our free booklet, The Road to Eternal Life. So what is your destiny and the road to eternal life? To receive the free booklets, just call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. As we have seen in the first segment of our program, The Secret, as written by Byrne, Rhonda Byrne, really relies upon consulting with the masters and with familiar spirits. None of the elements of The Secret can give you eternal life. No matter how long and how long we visualize ourselves as being God, we will not become God through any laws of the universe. But on the other hand, there are some positive aspects in the sense of the fact that thought and belief generally precede action. Proverbs 4:23 tells us that keep your heart with all diligence because out of it flow the issues of life. So what you put into your inner core of being, into your conscious stream of awareness, is stored in the subconscious and may be emitted into the conscious mind at any time, and you will have to deal with it. That is why it is so important to train up a child in the way it should go, so the child will have a positive storehouse of memories, and that which is emitted into the conscious mind will be positive. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us what to think. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, so that when things are emitted into your conscious mind, they will be positive experiences. How many people have had their lives wrecked by pornography, by having memories stored in their subconscious that then are emitted into the conscious mind that prevents them from having healthy and normal relationships with the opposite sex? Some behavior is, of course, reflexive and spontaneous and defensive. But the actions that generally determine how we're going to direct our lives are preceded by thought and meditation. You know, there's a song titled, it was written by Stuart Hamlin. It's titled, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others. He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you. While God is on your side, just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. But in today's world, it seems that even members of the body of Christ behave at times as if it is a secret what God can do. There are thousands who are becoming entangled in the world's so-called secret to success. So what can God do? Is it a secret? The Bible calls it a mystery, and it can only be learned through revelation. But all you have to do is open the pages of your Bible and to seek God. The Bible says, knock and I'll open. Call on me and I will answer. Ask and you'll receive. Jesus Christ came to the earth to reveal the Father and give us the knowledge of true light and life. Paul writes in Romans 16:25, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And that mystery really is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, you can receive the very divine nature of God. You can receive God's Spirit, which is the earnest, the down payment on eternal life. And at the resurrection, you will be born into the very family of God. That is the great mystery of the ages. You read in Revelation chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, that when the seventh trump sounds, the mystery will be finished. Yes, that mystery of how a human being can receive the Spirit of God and then become, at the resurrection, a glorious, radiant spirit being in the family of God. This mystery is known to us through revelation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writing says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." But the only way that you're really going to know the secret of what God can do, and it is no secret because it is revealed in the pages of the Bible, is to open your Bible and see for yourself. Now, on the other hand, there is the mystery of iniquity, that which the spirits, the familiar spirits, are doing in trying to deceive you. Revelation 12:9 says that Satan is deceiving the whole world. The Apostle Paul, writing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, tells us that Jesus Christ will not come until there comes a great falling away, a great false teaching, and the mystery of iniquity that's already at work is going to be revealed. Now, Satan, the devil, and the demons have been held back to some degree for a long period of time, but Satan is going to be cast down to this earth, as it says in Revelation 12:10, that when he is cast down, the only way that we can overcome him is by the blood of Jesus Christ, the word of our testimony, and loving not our lives to the death, because Satan is going to go forth, as you'll read in Revelation 12:11, with great fury and try to destroy the peoples of the earth because he knows he has but a short time. So this one, there is one who is going to be energized by Satan the devil, who will sit in the temple of God saying that he is God, and he will do great wonders, great signs, and great miracles. He comes after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Your word is the truth. If you want to know the secret, the truth, then you have to open the pages of your Bible. So some will not receive it, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Yes, if you don't love the truth, you are going to be deceived. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10, 11, and 12. That they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So what can God do? To a large degree, it seems that we take for granted that God will forgive our sins, and we don't have to worry so much about our sins. But consider this, the greatest thing that God does for us is to forgive our sins through repentance and faith in the sacrifice of Christ and give us His Spirit so we can truly become a new creation. Forgiveness is predicated on repentance. And repentance means that we're convicted of our sins and realize that apart from the sacrifice of Christ, we're going to die. Through Christ, we can become a new creation. Paul writes of this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is not something that you just conjure up in your mind. This is not a creation of your own through your thoughts. This is a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, God will forgive me my sins, but if I don't know if He will really watch over me and take care of me and deliver me. The four great enemies of faith are anxious care, fear, doubt, and human reason, and they are ever present with us, haunting us and pulling us down if we let them. But on the other hand, we approach God as if we take everything for granted in some facets of our lives, and in other facets of our lives, we just sit around and wring our hands wondering what's going to happen. So when we're faced with mounting trials and temptations, We often approach them as if we're going to go under unless we take the bull by the horns and wrestle this trial to the ground, take out our sword and slay the trial through our own efforts. We have often heard the admonition to pray as if everything depended on God and to work as if everything depended on us. But I fear that we will reverse this in our world. Instead of God being in the foreground and His Word written in the frontlets of our eyes, He is in the background, and we run scared and become filled with stress and fear. The Israelites were instructed by God to put the Word of God in the forefront. It says, "You shall bind them," that is, God's commandments, "for a sign upon your hand, they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gate." So you, when you have these in the frontlets of your eyes, they're foremost in your mind. God is in the foreground. Today, God has made it possible through His Spirit to have His laws written on our inward parts. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Eternal. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Hebrews 10, verse 16. So what else can God do? In Psalm 78, the psalmist chronicles all the great miracles that God performed for the Israelites through the ages. Freed them from Egypt, parted the Red Sea, gave them water and food in the desert, delivered them from their enemies, and so much more. God has promised us the same things and much more. It is no secret what God can do if you'll open the pages of your Bible. He tells us that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without His knowledge, and that we are more value than a sparrow. The hairs on our head are numbered, and His thoughts are ever toward us. Note what the psalmist writes, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay your vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Psalm 77 describes what is the problem with so many people in the world today. Our problem is our problem. In Psalm 77, the person is complaining to God, communing with his own spirit, going over and over his problems night after night. He can find no rest. The enemies of faith, the four great enemies of anxious care, fear, doubt, and human reason flood in, and he's so distressed that he cannot sleep. And finally, he comes to himself and realizes that that is his infirmity. In other words, his problem is his problem, and then the solution is that he will get his mind back on God. The psalmist writes, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Eternal. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate of all your work and talk of your doings." So when you get your focus on God and His ways, we can keep God in the frontlets of our eyes. Then we can be comforted and encouraged as we face our problems. One of the main ways to keep God in the foreground is to hide His Word in our hearts and to meditate on it. Note once again the words of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 11. "Your words have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against you." Is the Word of God hidden in your heart? And then in Psalm 119, verse 97. "Oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." Yes, it is no secret what God can do. The world today is offering what they call the secret, which is really conjuring up familiar spirits and being in communication with those magicians from the past, actually nothing more than fallen demons. It is no secret, on the other hand, what God can do when your heart and mind is focused on Him. When your heart and mind are focused on God, it is no secret what He can do. Note what the prophet Isaiah writes. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." So to know what the secret of the ages is, just open the pages of your Bible. And be sure to be tuned to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. And to receive the free literature offered on the program, call our toll-free number. What is your destiny and the road to eternal life? The number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614.